I'll tell you one thing. We know that we need him every hour.
Yes. Amen?
It's so good to know that. Indeed. Let's stand. Praise the Lord.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy.
Praise the Lord. Good singing tonight, church. Please be seated and grab your Bibles for our Sunday evening message in prophecy as we continue our Sunday night studies of the second advent of our glorious Savior. Open up your Bibles tonight to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. Folks, I can't tell you how stirred my spirit is concerning the urgency of the hour, that we are so close to the Lord's return. Amen? And tonight, there's just one thing that he's looking for from you and I, and that is faithfulness. Simple faithfulness. Day by day, walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, obeying and yielding to his Holy Spirit. Glory to God. It has eternal implications in doing so. Okay, folks, tonight we're going to look at part two of the 75-day interval. The 75-day interval. This is the time period between the end of the tribulation period, Daniel's 70th week, and the beginning of the millennial kingdom of Messiah. There will be a 75-day time interval. And we've seen five of the nine events that must occur during this 75-day time period. It begins on the last day of the seven-year tribulation period, and it ends on the first day of the thousand-year millennium. First, we saw last week the removal of the abomination of desolation from the temple. Second, we saw the removal of the Antichrist, the beast. Third, we saw the removal of the false prophet. Fourth, we saw Satan cast into his fifth abode, the abyss, the bottomless pit, his fifth of his six abodes. Fifthly, we saw the judgment of the Gentiles. Where? In the valley of Jehoshaphat. And that judgment is not a judgment for sin. That is a judgment for who of the Gentiles will enter into the millennial kingdom. Okay, the sheep and the goats. Remember that? It's not a judgment for sin. That judgment will take place 1,000 years later at the great white throne. The judgment of the Gentiles we find in Matthew 25, and we find it in various places, Joel chapter 3, and it speaks of the time when individuals, you may have an evil president, you may have an evil communist dictator where you live. It doesn't matter. How you treated the Jews during the tribulation period is what matters at this time period. Of course, you won't be here because you're saved. You'll be raptured out. But the Gentiles who are going through the tribulation period will be judged for their treatment or mistreatment of the Jews at that time. So sixthly tonight, there's a sixth event that must take place at this time, the 75-day interval. And that sixth event is known as the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. Remember all those people who lived prior to the cross, the Old Testament saints, those who believed on the Lord God of Israel and followed his precepts? Well, those people whose souls were in paradise in the center of the earth, we'll talk about that in a minute, they need to be resurrected. Why? Get your thinking caps on tonight, church, because I'm going to be testing you. Rukus.
Wait a minute. I thought that when Christ died, said they kept his free, so what are they doing there?
Okay, the souls, I'm talking about the bodies of the Old Testament saints being resurrected. The souls, they're with the Lord now because paradise is vacant. I want to get into that all in a minute, brother. Hang on. Now, the rapture of the church will not include the Old Testament saints. They're not a part of the body of Christ, the bride. They didn't live in the right dispensation to become a part of the bride. Therefore, they cannot be part of the bride. Now, because they're not part of the bride, but they're friends of the bridegroom. Amen? During the 75-day interval, they, the Old Testament saints, will be resurrected bodily, and they will enter the millennial kingdom prepared for them by the Lord Jesus Christ, their Messiah. These are those in the Old Testament who were waiting for the Messiah to come. These are those in the Old Testament who believed Moses and the prophets who spake of the Son of God who would come one day. This truth is clearly revealed by two Old Testament passages. First, go with me to Daniel chapter number 12. In Daniel chapter number 12, look with me at verse 1. He says, "And at that time shall Michael that stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people." Time out, church. Two questions come to mind. First, what time period is he speaking of? When he says at that time, what is the context of this passage? The what? Daniel's what? 70th week. The tribulation period. He says at that time, Michael, Revelation chapter 12, will stand up for thy people. The second question, who is the children of thy people? Who's that talking about? Is that talking about Gentiles? Is that talking about the Aussies? Who's that talking about? The Jews, thank you. The Jews. He shall stand up for the Jews. When? During the tribulation period. This shows you that the Jews are going through the tribulation period. Why? Because they have rejected their Messiah. They have rejected Jesus Christ to this day as a nation. But there's coming a day, your replacement theologians, when they will accept him. And they will be regenerated. Glory to God. Now, verse number 1. "And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time." When is that time? Tribulation period. But this is referring in particularly to the last 42 months known as the Great Tribulation. Because it is at that point, mid-trib, that the beast, the Antichrist, will break his covenant with Israel. And the sacrifice and oblation will cease. And he will walk into the temple at Jerusalem and declare himself to be God. "And at that time thy people shall be" what? Doesn't say they'll be saved. It says they'll be delivered. Because they're already his people because they believe on him. But they need deliverance from who? The Antichrist. The Antichrist. Thank you, Tim. Everyone that shall be found written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust. Time out, church. What does sleeping in the dust scripturally mean?
Dead.
Dead and buried. These are people who died in faith and were buried under the Old Testament dispensation. He says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall what?
Awake.
I'm so glad that you won't die. There's no death for a Christian. Bible says you fall asleep. Your body falls asleep, your soul goes to be with the Lord. You're not dead, you're alive with the Lord, Paul said. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. That means come to life. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, notice here in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Clearly this passage is describing a resurrection of Jews. Jews who lived under the Old Testament dispensation and died righteous. Listen now. Their bodies being buried, but their souls going to a place called Abraham's bosom. Paradise. Now, here their bodies are resurrected from the grave in order for them to be occupants of the millennial kingdom, which was promised to them from the foundation of the world. Go with me to John chapter 3. I want to show you this. In John chapter 3, the Baptist spoke of a people who would be present for the millennial kingdom, but not part of the bride of Christ. Who are they? Look with me in John chapter 3. Watch what the Baptist says by the Holy Ghost here in John chapter number 3. Look with me at verse 29. In verse 29, they ask him, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah, John? Verse 28, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride, time out, church. Who is John talking about here when he says he that hath the bride? Who's the bride?
Christ.
Us. The bride is the church, the bride of Christ. So he's going to show you this two people groups going into the millennium. He that hath the bride, the church, is the bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus Christ. But the friend of the bridegroom, John is pointing to himself. And he calls himself not part of the bride. John Baptist was not part of the bride of Christ, folks. I don't want to shock you tonight. He was a friend of the bridegroom, as are all Old Testament saints. Amen? Which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. They love to hear Messiah's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Now these, John is saying, I am part of the friends of the bridegroom. Who are they? They are the Old Testament saints. Their souls were where? When John was speaking, where were their souls? Their souls, he tells you. They were, I'll tell you what. Go with me to Luke chapter 16. Don't take my word for it. Luke chapter 16 will tell us where their souls are. Until the cross. Their souls had to stay somewhere. They were saved under an Old Testament sense. They were saints. In Luke chapter 16, don't miss this. Look with me at verse 19. You know this passage. We're all familiar with it. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fed sumptuously every day. He had everything the world had to offer. He was filthy rich, but he didn't have God. Verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. He was in a sorry state, but he was saved. Amen? And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels. Where? Into Abraham's bosom. Where is that? Church, it's in the center of the earth. It was.
Paradise.
Paradise was the name of it. Abraham's bosom. That's where Old Testament saints went when they died. They couldn't go to heaven because Jesus didn't rise from the dead yet. Jesus would be the first fruits of the resurrection. The rich man also died, you know, the unsaved one, and was buried, and in what?
Hell.
Hell. He went to hell. There is a hell, church, to shun and a heaven to gain. In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He wanted one drop of water, and he couldn't get it. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things. Likewise Lazarus received evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, look at this. Verse 26, between us and you, notice there's two groups of people in the center of the earth at this time. Between us in paradise and you in hell, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. You can't go from hell to paradise or paradise to hell. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send them to my father's house, for I have five brethren. I don't want them to come into this place of torment. And he says, nope, they have the word of God. If they won't hear the word of God, they'll go to hell just like you. That's why it's important for folks to hear the word of God. Amen, church? Glory to God. This is paradise. This is where the Old Testament saints' souls were located. Where were their bodies at this time?
In the ground.
In the ground, buried. Their souls were where? In paradise. Lucas.
Well, isn't hell in the center of the earth, though?
Yes. So, hell is still in the center of the earth.
In the center of the earth, then how's paradise there?
And the Bible says it's expanding. Look here in our text in verse 26. He says, beside all this, between us in paradise and you in hell, there is a great gulf. There's a gulf, a separation that cannot be passed. Paradise was perfectly air-conditioned. Perfect. It was Abraham's bosom. It was wonderful. It was serene. It was beautiful.
Okay, so here's hell, the core of the earth. Here's where hell is. What are you saying, that paradise is like right around it?
No, I'm not saying paradise was around it. I'm saying it was separated from it. Two separate compartments in the center of the earth, according to this passage. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 that after Jesus Christ died on that cross, he descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Why did he go down there? Somebody tell me, why did he go down to the center of the earth? Ellie.
To empty out paradise.
Bingo! Glory to God. He went to the center of the earth where paradise was to take the souls of the Old Testament saints with him to heaven, right? He left all of the lost souls down there in hell, where they still are today.
Okay, if he took them up there, then how is it possible for him to resurrect them after the tribulation?
Because their souls are going to be united with their physical bodies when the bodies get resurrected. You see, their souls have to receive a glorified body, one that will last forever, like ours will. So, though their souls are with Jesus Christ, their physical bodies are here on earth. There has to be a reuniting for them to enter alive into the millennium.
So does that mean when they were resurrected, their souls went to heaven? Does that mean like they're like ghosts right now?
No, nothing like that. Their souls are with the Lord. Their bodies are in the ground.
They don't have a glorified body, so they would be more like, you know, the angels or...
I see what you're saying. Yes, they're spirit beings. Their souls are spirit beings, and they have white robes, of course. They're not naked, but they don't have a glorified body yet.
Okay.
You see?
So are they like an image?
Now, these are questions that we can speculate on, but, I don't have definite answers. I know that they're with the Lord. Ellie?
Don't they have a temporary covering right now? It talks about a temporary tabernacle.
Yeah, that's what I was saying is that they have something that they're abiding in heaven right now, but it's not their eternal body.
They have a body, it's just not an eternal body.
Yeah, exactly. And I believe it's a white robe. Anyways, here we find the first passage dealing with the Old Testament saints being resurrected. When? During the 75-day interval. Why? So they can enter what? The millennium. Okay? Second passage. Go to Isaiah. Oh, this is fascinating tonight. Isaiah, chapter number 26. Don't you love how the Bible has all the answers, folks?
Isaiah what?
26,
Timmy. And look with me here in Isaiah chapter 26. This is an incredible passage concerning the time of the end. And it points to a time period known as the 75-day interval where this will take place. Watch what he says in Isaiah 26. Look with me at verse number 12. Verse number 12. And keep in mind, this is Israel. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us. Well, I wonder when Israel's going to get peace. Not right now. Missiles are being lobbed at Israel right now. From Hezbollah and Syria and Hamas. And Iran's got a few pointing at them too. Look it. For thou hast also wrought all our works in us, O Lord our God. Other lords beside thee have had dominion over us. But by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, false gods. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Notice, they shall not rise. He's pointing to a resurrection. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Tribulation period. It hasn't happened yet, folks. He's talking in the past tense, as if it's already a done deal. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. What nation? Israel. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hadst removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. That's the Jews, right? Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. This is Israel during the tribulation period calling upon Messiah and being what? Regenerated. They're born, a nation is born in a day. Like as a woman with child that draws near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. Birth pangs. Birth pangs. A nation is going to be born. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live. Now, time out. Verse 19, the prophet by the Holy Spirit points to a resurrection. And he says, who's being resurrected? The Lord's dead people. The Lord, these are believers who died in the Old Testament dispensation. Thy dead men shall what? Live. Together with my dead body, Isaiah said, I'm included in this resurrection. Shall they what? Arise. Church, it's a resurrection. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. You're coming up. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Those bodies are coming out of the graves. It's an Old Testament saints resurrection taking place. Come, look at it. Verse 20. Come, my people, redeemed Israel, enter thou into thy chambers. That's the grave. And shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the what? Indignation. When you see that term in the Old Testament, it's pointing to Daniel's 70th week, the tribulation period. Until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh. The Lord cometh, church. Out of his place to what? Punish. He's not coming to die on a cross. He's coming to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Why? They're coming up out of the graves. A resurrection taking place here is our sixth event taking place during the... Go back to Daniel. Go back to Daniel for a moment. I want to show you the time context of this incredible Old Testament saints resurrection. When will it occur? Daniel chapter 12. Look at this. In Daniel chapter 12, he speaks of a post-tribulation resurrection. Look at it. Daniel chapter 12, and at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as was never since the nation was, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people, Israel, shall be delivered. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, they died a physical death, shall awake. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. That's for unbelievers. Verse 3, here's what I want you to see. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. You see that in verse 3? It's talking about the wise Old Testament saints shining as the brightness of the firmament. That when is that? When are they going to shine? Somebody tell me. During the what? They're not shining now. They're in unbelief. Millennial kingdom, right, Miriam? During the millennium, Israel is going to shine. They're going to be glorified. They're going to rule the world. Glory to God. I love it. And we're going to rule with Messiah. I love it. Now, this is our sixth event, the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. Seventh event during the 75-day time period interval is the resurrection of the tribulation period saints. This is a different group being resurrected. These tribulation saints would have been killed during the what? Tribulation. Come on, church. They were killed during the tribulation period. Why were they killed?
Because they had Bibles.
They had Bibles and they refused what? The mark of the beast and to worship the beast, the Antichrist, right? So they were martyred. They were beheaded. They died. When did they die? During the tribulation period. Now, in order for them to enter the millennium, what needs to take place? Their bodies are buried. They need to be resurrected, folks. These tribulation saints were killed during the tribulation period for their faith in Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 20. I want to show you this quickly. Revelation chapter 20. They're coming up in order to enter the millennial kingdom. They are not part of the church, folks. These preachers that are telling you, oh, during the tribulation period, you can become part of the bride. Buddy, the bride is gone. The bride is with the Lord in heaven during the tribulation. The age of grace is done at the sound of the trumpet. In Revelation chapter 20, he's going to tell you who they are. Look at this in Revelation chapter 20. Look with me at verse 1. Don't miss this. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 1 says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, the abyss. He had a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon. That's the devil, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. I wonder why he chose that figure, 1,000 years. Let's keep reading. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were what? Beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, like Esther said, they had Bibles, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they what?
Lived.
And reigned with Christ 1,000 years. 1,000 years, Carol.
So when a preacher gets up and tells you during the rapture, the Old Testament saints will go up, the dead in Christ will go up, and the living in Christ will go up, that's incorrect.
Right? That's incorrect. That's absolutely incorrect. The passages we just read prove that the Old Testament saints are still buried after the tribulation period is ended. They're still in the ground, according to what we just read.
Yeah.
They need to be resurrected after the tribulation period. Right. But those who go in rapture, hang on, those who go in rapture, their bodies come up out of the graves, and we which are alive.
Right.
Now, who are those people coming up out of the graves at the rapture? That's who are they?
The dead in Christ.
Those are Christians who died during the what? Church age.
Right.
Nothing to do with the Old Testament. Good question.
But
Tim.
That's incorrect doctrine then when they teach that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not going to lose your salvation over it, but it's false.
I know, but I mean.
Yeah, I know.
It's dangerous.
There's so much of it.
Maybe,
Tim.
You answered my question.
Oh, yeah.
maybe it's simply that they're not making, because it's the bodies that we're talking about. That are
right.
Going up, while their souls are going up at the tribulation, right?
No, but I was saying.
No.
We've been taught.
There, Right, you've been taught wrong. Their souls
the
went.
Old Testament saints would be raptured. The dead in Christ would be raptured. And
right, but
maybe
that was referring to the souls of the Old Testament.
True, but the souls of the Old Testament saints went up 2,000 years ago.
That's right, yeah.
Nobody could enter heaven until Jesus Christ, the King of Glory, the King of Glory, entered in. And then he made a way for those to follow behind. But that's, different time. Now, look at this in verse number 4. It says, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. When did that happen?
Tribulation.
Right, during the tribulation. The guillotine's coming back. And someone of y'all said to me last week, Pastor, they're not even going to use a guillotine. These terrorist punks, they use a machete.
Yeah.
They just cut their head right off. That's how evil they are. And look at, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. There's a millennium. This is a resurrection taking place for tribulation believers. They didn't go in the rapture because they were unbelievers when the rapture hit. They were in the tribulation period, and they trusted Jesus Christ during the tribulation period. And they were killed for their faith.
Is the Holy Spirit going to be here when that happens?
The Holy Spirit's going to be here, but it's not going to be the same as today, where we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be working in the 144,000. He'll be working in the two witnesses. He'll be working to bring souls to Jesus.
What about people that don't take the mark? Is the Holy Spirit going to be with them also?
Not if they don't trust Jesus Christ. There will actually be people that will survive. This will blow you away. There will be people who will survive the 7 years tribulation who don't take the mark of the beast and who don't trust Jesus Christ. They're going to be judged during the 75-day interval. I'm going to get to that in a minute. See, this book has it all, folks. Amen? Now, look here. These people, the first resurrection includes three groups of people. Not one, not two. Three groups of people are included in the first resurrection. When you see the Bible where it says this is the first resurrection, it's talking about three groups who are resurrected at different times. But they all make up the first resurrection. There's two resurrections, the first resurrection and the second resurrection. Here we see two distinct groups in verse 4. They are raptured saints and tribulation saints. Notice in verse 4, the word judgment. See that in verse 4, folks? I want to show you these two groups in verse 4. Don't miss this. Where it says judgment was given unto them. That's talking about the saints who went up in the rapture. That judgment there is the bema seat. That is the judgment seat of Christ. That is not for sin. The judgment seat of Christ is for rewards, for service, okay? That's the first group in verse 4. That is part of the first resurrection. Now, they went up 7 years previous to this verse. They went up in rapture. This group that died during the tribulation period, they're going up in resurrection after the tribulation period, 7 years later. All right. Judgment was given to them. Judgment for service, not for sin. The second group are those who refuse to worship the beast or to receive his mark during the great tribulation. You see that? Those are tribulation saints being resurrected. Now, that's the seventh event that must take place. Quickly, got to finish up. I got two more events to go through. First, the eighth event that will take place during the 75-day interval is the first resurrection being completed. The first resurrection needs to be completed. It's got three phases. The first resurrection, which includes three specific groups of people, is all for believers only. The first resurrection is believers only. Who are they? Revelation chapter 20. He's going to tell you. Look at this. Verse number 5. Revelation 20, verse 5. He says, but the rest of the dead. Notice that. He's talking about another group of people. The rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Okay? Those who will be resurrected after the 1,000 years are finished are in the second resurrection. You don't want to be part of that. I'll show you why. Now, according to verse 5, the resurrection of the tribulation period saints completes the first resurrection, which is made up of who? Three groups. Can somebody name them? We just went through them. Who's the first?
Resurrection saints.
No, the first. Who?
Church age saints.
Ellie said it. Church age saints are the first part of the three groups for the first resurrection. When do they go up? In rapture. Right? Then we go into the tribulation period. The second group that'll go up are the Old Testament saints. They'll be resurrected in order to inherit the kingdom. The third group we just read in verse 4 are those who will be beheaded, believers, tribulation period believers. That's the three groups that make up the first resurrection. I'm going to teach you right, church. I'm going to teach you what this book says, amen? And that first resurrection is made up of three groups. Now, the Old Testament saints, the raptured saints, the tribulation period saints, these three groups will all enjoy the blessings of the millennium, okay? Now, the second resurrection, which will take place 1,000 years later, is for unbelievers only. Unbelievers only in the second resurrection. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to show you these three, this first resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Got to move. Look with me at verse number 20. Watch this. There are actually five phases to the first resurrection. I want to show them to you. And look at me in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. You notice that? Who is the first one to rise from the dead and enter heaven?
Christ.
Jesus Christ. He's the first fruits. He's become the first fruits of them that slept. They died a physical death. For since by man, what man? Adam came death. By man, what man? The second Adam, the Messiah, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Notice this wording in verse 23. There is an order to the first resurrection, a threefold order. Christ, he's going to tell you what it is. Christ, the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Notice that. This first resurrection includes five specific stages coming in a definite sequential order. First, Jesus Christ will be the first to rise from the dead. Verse 23. Second, the bride of Christ, which is the church, will be the second phase. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Don't have time to look these up. Third, the resurrection of the two witnesses. Mid-tribulation, if you want to look it up, it's Revelation chapter 11, verse 1 through 12. Revelation chapter 11, verse 1 through 12, there's a mid-trib resurrection, rapture. It's not the tribulation period believers like these preachers are trying to tell you. It's two witnesses. Fourth, the Old Testament saints, Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Fifth, the tribulation period saints, Revelation 20, verse 4. There's five phases to that first resurrection. Starts with Jesus, ends with the tribulation period saints. Okay? Now, the ninth and final event that will take place during the 75-day interval, I think we can finish this, is the marriage feast of the Lamb. The marriage feast of the Lamb. Go to Revelation chapter 19. Glory to God for His Word. Tells us all this great stuff. Amen? In Revelation chapter 19, there is a marriage feast taking place. People are being invited to come to it. Who are they? Look with me at Revelation chapter 19. Look with me at verse number 9. And He saith unto me, write, blessed, not cursed, blessed are they which are what? Called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now that the three groups are resurrected, the wedding feast can finally take place. Amen? In Jewish weddings, folks, the fourth stage of the Jewish wedding, traditional, is the marriage feast. And while the church is the bride, The Old Testament saints and the tribulation period saints make up the friends of the bridegroom. Amen? Go with me to Matthew chapter 22. I want you to see this. There are two groups described who are going to attend the wedding feast of the Lamb. They are not the bride. We are the ones getting married to him. But these are friends of the bride and friends of the bridegroom. In Matthew, look with me at Matthew chapter 22, an incredible passage of scripture describing Jews. Keep in mind, this is describing Jewish friends of the bridegroom, not Gentiles. We'll get to the Gentiles in a minute. But in chapter 22 of Matthew, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the what?
Kingdom.
Talking about a kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king. Who is the king? Which had made a marriage for his son. You see that? And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. Time out, church. Who is the son? Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ is the Son. And it says he sent forth his servants. Who are the servants? Anybody know? Begins with a P.
The people.
The prophets. Good one there, Timmy. The prophets did what? They sent messages to the people to come to the marriage feast. Now, he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden. Who is them that were bidden?
The friends of the bridegroom.
Yeah, friends of the bridegroom, but who are they ethnically?
Jews.
Jews he's talking about here. Remember, we'll get to the Gentiles. And they would not come. You see that? Israel refused their own Messiah. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I prepared my dinner, my feast, amen, and my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. They killed the prophets. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. When did that happen? AD 70. Ellie's right. When Titus, the Roman general, came with the armies of Rome, and they obliterated everything in sight in Jerusalem. 1.4 million Jews were slaughtered in that battle. Verse 8, then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. The highways are the Gentile nations. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. Some of us were bad before we got saved, and some of us. The wedding was furnished with what?
Guests.
Doesn't say a bride. It was furnished with guests. You got to pay attention to the words in the King James Bible. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Not a word. Because he knew he didn't belong there. Now, this first parable clearly shows Israel being invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb. Look at verse number 7. Verse number 7. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. Sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up the city. Now watch this. Verse 8. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. That's the Jews of Jesus' generation, right? He's not done inviting them. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as shall find, bid to the marriage. So, verse 10. Those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both good and bad. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Verse 10 is talking about the tribulation period, Jews who will come to the wedding. There's going to be a day when all of the Jews will accept the Messiah. They will receive the King, and they will be regenerated like we are. They will receive the Holy Spirit, be poured out upon them. And guess what? They're not part of the bride. They're going to be friends of the bridegroom. They're going to be wedding guests, just like the text says. Amen? These are the wedding guests, Jewish wedding guests. Now, what about Gentiles? Will there be Gentile wedding guests? Oh, yeah. Matthew 25. Quickly, got to finish up. In Matthew 25, look here. And I want to show you why this can't be Jews. In Matthew 25, we're going to see Gentile guests for the wedding feast. Then shall the kingdom, the what? The kingdom be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Now, time out, church. Why can this not be you and me? When the bridegroom cometh down to the earth, why can this not be you and me?
Because we're in the rapture.
We've already been raptured out. Thank you, Marion. We're not there.
So we would be the virgins with the oil.
Nope. Those are tribulation period Gentiles who believe on Jesus Christ and refuse the mark of the beast. I want to show you that. Verse 6, and at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." That's a picture of a person during a tribulation period. He's got nothing to eat. He's got nothing to drink. He didn't take the mark, but he can't be part of the wedding feast because he's not trusting Messiah. He's got no oil of the Spirit. And our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so. Can't be done. Lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. See this? They're going to a marriage feast as guests. They're not the bride. These are Gentile believers from the tribulation period going to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. Its time is done. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, what? Open unto us." But he answered and said, "I know you not. I know you not." Now, look at here in verse number 9. Verse number 10. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in. How many preachers have you heard preach this passage and say, "If you're not ready when the rapture hits, you're not going. You're going to be left behind. You're going to go through the... ha, ha, ha." That's not funny. These guys are trying to tell you that salvation is by works, and it's not. What this talking about being ready is a tribulation period context, folks. It's the church age was done 7 years before this. You don't have to be... Now, Lord, forgive me. Don't take me the wrong way. You can be backslidden as can be. You can't even be recognized as a Christian. If you're born again, you're going in the rapture, whether you like it or not. I'm here to tell you the truth, folks. You're saved, you're saved. And your works does not, your performance does not depend upon that. Jesus Christ saved you. You're going to heaven, even if you don't like it. You're going in the rapture. But how many preachers get up there, "Oh, yeah. If you don't tithe, and you don't get baptized in our water, and you don't sign the church membership roll, you'll be left behind." Right. This is talking about Gentiles going in to the marriage feast of the Lamb. They're not part of the bride. Okay. Now, this passage in Isaiah chapter 25, let's finish up here. Isaiah 25, we'll be done, I promise. In Isaiah 25, it's going to deal with both groups, Jewish and Gentile believers going to the wedding feast. Not part of the bride. Okay? Isaiah, and look with me at Isaiah chapter 25. Don't miss this in closing. In Isaiah chapter 25, look with me at verse number 6. Verse number 6 says, "And in this mountain," that's Mount Zion. Where's Mount Zion? In Jerusalem. In this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people, not just Jews, all people, a what?
Feast.
I told you folks the words of the King James Bible. A feast. Did we just read that word? He shall make a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people. I wonder who did that. And the veil that is spread over all nations. I wonder who did that. He, Messiah, will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. Woo! The day's coming, folks. I got good news, church. You're on the winning side. You're going to be in that millennial kingdom. You're going to be part of the bride of Christ. Glory to God. And these precious Old Testament saints and these precious tribulation period saints will be clapping for us as we marry the King in a glorious wedding feast. Hallelujah. Conclusion. The conclusion is this. The nine events that will take place during the 75-day interval leading up to the glorious messianic age known as the millennium are these nine. Next week, we will begin an in-depth study of this amazing time period known as the Millennial Kingdom. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you tonight that that kingdom is coming. Lord, I thank you that you are ruler and Lord of heaven and earth. And Lord, I thank you that soon and very soon we're going to see the King. Lord, I thank you that the next prophetic event on your timetable is the rapture of the church. I thank you, Lord, that we're going up yonder to be with Jesus. Lord, I thank you that we will not suffer the wrath of the Lamb during the 7-year tribulation period. I thank you that we are the bride of Christ. And yes, indeed, we will walk the aisle with the bridegroom. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day that will be. Lord, we love you tonight, and I believe we love you more than we've ever loved you, because we're seeing prophecies come to pass before our eyes in the world. All nations are lined up scripturally, prophetically, as the Word of God said they would be. Lord, all things are ready for you to come. And we pray as a church family tonight, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come quickly and destroy the evil of this world and set up your glorious kingdom. Oh Lord, righteousness and peace will be the girdle of your reign. Thank you for that tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we each have a special part to play in your coming kingdom. And I thank you for this church. I thank you we stand upon the King James Bible unashamedly. I thank you, Lord, that this book right here is the Word of God. And I thank you, Lord, that the devil himself cannot destroy it. We thank you for victory, eternal victory, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for the messages on the 75-day interval, the tribulation period, and those to come on the glorious kingdom. It is going to be something else. And we look forward to it, Lord. We love you tonight. We thank you for your word in Jesus Christ's name. And the people said, amen. Praise the Lord, people. Let's grab our hymnals. We'll close with a hymn tonight. Glory to God. Open up your hymnals to 235. One of my favorites. 235. I'm so glad he doesn't pass me over. We'll stand and we'll sing the first and the last. 235. Pass me not. Yes, indeed. First and last. Amen. Fanny Crosby.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
a calling. Do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. What on earth is thou calling? Do not pass me by. Now time out, church. Look at this fourth stanza. Look at these words. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Let's sing it to them.
Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside?
Praise the Lord. Lucas, prayer, dismiss us in prayer, brother.
Heavenly Father, thanks for letting us come here tonight. And
yes, Lord.
Continue to study, and I want to pray, please get everybody home safely.
Mm.
And please be with all the requests mentioned earlier tonight, and that everything will be taken care of, and that everything will be in good hands in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, people. See you Wednesday if that nor'easter doesn't hit.
I'll be working.
So, in the blizzard.